Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, and is found in the New Living Translation. But Sarai, Abram's wife, had no children. So Sarai took her servant, an Egyptian woman named Hagar, and gave her to Abram, so she could bear his children. The Lord has kept me from having any children, Sarai said to Abram. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram first arrived in the land of Canaan. So Abram slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. When Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "It's all your fault. Now this servant of mine is pregnant, and she despises me, though I myself gave her the privilege of sleeping with you. The Lord will make you pay for doing this to me." Abram replied, "Since she is your servant, you may deal with her as you see fit." So Sarai treated her harshly, and Hagar ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a desert spring along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress," she replied. Then the angel of the Lord said, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard about your misery. This son of yours will be a wild one, free and untamed as a wild donkey. He will be against everyone and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live at odds with the rest of his brothers." Thereafter, Hagar referred to the Lord who had spoken to her as "the God who sees me." For she said, "I have seen the one who sees me." Later, that well was named Beer Laharoi, and it can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old at that time.
Well, good morning. It's amazing to be with you this Sunday morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Claire. I know many of you because I grew up in and around the Free. But for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been one of the Free's mission members, living in Warwickshire in the middle of England, doing a lot in the UK, but also overseas. But during this lockdown, even though I live a fair amount away from you guys, it's been amazing to connect with you all online, with the Sunday services and a few Zoom meetings, prayer meetings, but also with the thoughts for the day. I've been so impressed with so many Free Church members, like nuggets of wisdom and truth that have just encouraged me at the start of every day for me. It's been incredible to hear from so many of you. But I've also had the chance to do some of these thoughts for the day. And way back now, it must have been a few months ago, I did one on the topic of Hagar, which is our topic today. You may have heard me share them, but today I'm going to expand a little bit, look at the story of Hagar, look at the context where she comes into God's big story. We will see that she's just this ordinary Egyptian handmaiden who enters into God's big story. And we see God's heart for her. We will see that. And I think we can see how we can look at her life and look at her story and see how it applies to us today as individuals and as the church, as the Frinton Free Church and as the wider church. That's my hope, that we can take some points home, that God would meet us and show us his heart for Hagar and show us his heart for us, but also show us his heart for others and how we can respond. So Hagar, bit of context. She enters God's big story in the time of Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 16, which has just been read, we see them known as Sarai and Abraham. But most of you and me, we know them as Abraham and Sarah. But at this point, their names have not yet been changed. Later, God does that. He changes their names. And Abraham, I'm going to call him Abraham just for easiness, has been promised a few things by God. He's been promised land. He's been promised offspring and a nation from the offspring. And he has been promised that all families will be blessed through him. And so this is the kind of the backstory when we're coming into this with Hagar. Abraham, as much as he's had this promise from God, there's a few roadblocks in the way that seem to get in the way of this promise that God has given to him. And one of them is that him and his wife have no children. We're told in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, that his wife is Sarai, Sarah is barren. And also they're getting on a bit. They're kind of beyond the age of where you would think the normal age of having children being childbearing age. So there's these roadblocks in the way to the promise that God has given to them. And enter Hagar. Thing is, Sarah, she has a solution. She says, we can't see how God is going to give you this son, to get the promise of that is promised to you of the offspring and the descendants and the nation. So I have an idea. Take Hagar, my Egyptian handmaiden, and take her as your wife. In those days, men often have many wives. It was quite common, and concubines, and so it wouldn't have been an unusual thing for Abraham to have more than one wife. And so Abraham does. He takes Hagar as his wife, and lo and behold, she becomes pregnant. She conceives by Abraham. And here we are, they've tried to grab hold of the promise for themselves. And I think there's a lot for us to learn in this, in trusting God and trusting his ways and not trying to take it into our own hands. But here they are, and Hagar is pregnant. And we see there's probably jealousy, it seems jealousy between Hagar and Sarah, and Sarah starts treating Hagar very harshly. We don't know exactly what she did, but it says that she treats her harshly. And Hagar ends up running away. It says she fled from her mistress. And we find Hagar in the wilderness. And I talked about in my talk for the day how the wilderness, thoughts of the day, how the wilderness is not the best place. It doesn't seem to be the best place. In the Bible, we see the wilderness, other people in the wilderness in quite a few places. It's usually desert. There's not people around, there's not provisions, there's maybe not much food, maybe not much water. It's not really where you want to be. But Hagar finds herself there. She's running from the mistress that's treating her badly. She did not choose this for herself. She had no control, really. She did not, it was something that had been done to her, really. But here she is in this, probably feeling very alone. Probably feeling completely in despair, completely hopeless, not seeing any future for herself. Enter God. enter God. And we see here the angel of the Lord comes to Hagar. And the angel of the Lord, in this circumstance and in many circumstances in the Bible, scholars seem to think that that is God himself. And it seems that Hagar thinks it could well be God himself. And if it's not, that it's a direct message from him. And God meets her in that wilderness. And he says, Hagar, basically, why are you here? Where are you going? What are you doing? And she says, I'm fleeing from my mistress. And then we see something that the angel of the Lord tells her to do, which to me strikes me as quite harsh, because he says, Go back to your mistress and submit to her. Return back to where you came. And I read that and I'm like, it seems very harsh to go back to the person that's treating her badly, to the person that's got her in this situation that's caused her to run away. But the Lord continues, and he says, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. I mean, God is just giving her own promise here. Abraham and Sarah, they have their promises, but God has given her a promise. You are bearing a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, which means God hears. In itself, God hears. Names at this stage are very important. And we see from Hagar's reaction that actually her focus doesn't seem to be on this kind of command to go back to her mistress. My focus would be on that, you know, like, I can't do this. But her focus seems to be on what the Lord has said and the promises that he's given her and the hope that he's given her with the words that followed. Because she actually gives God a name. You're the God who hears. You're the God who hears me. You're the God who sees me. She says, you're a God of seeing. Truly here, I have seen him who looks after me. I mean, this says everything about the impact that God has just had on her. The fact that she says, you have seen me and you've heard me, even though he's told her to go back home and to submit again, she is changed. There's been some measure of healing and hope for her where she was completely hopeless. This promise of the future for her son has just changed everything. The fact that God has heard her cries, has seen her in that wilderness, has changed everything. Because suddenly she can go back and the circumstances might be exactly the same, but she has a new hope in her heart. And that's what we all need. And the story goes on. We actually read more about Hagar in chapter 21. At this point, Sarah and Abraham have been able to have their own, another child. Sarah is able to actually conceive and bear a child called Isaac. And there is this wrestle and challenge between who's the heir and who's going to inherit all of Abraham's wealth, who's going to be the inherit the nation and inherit the promises that God has given. And Sarah is worried that Ishmael, the firstborn, is going to get all of that. And so she says to Abraham, cast out Hagar and her son Ishmael. And Abraham is so conflicted because this is still his son. This is his son too. And the Lord kind of comes to him and God says, do what Sarah tells you. And he almost comforts him because he says, but I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. That's chapter 21, verse 13. And is telling Abraham almost like, Don't worry, the child Ishmael is in my hands. We've already seen that God is taking care of Hagar and her son. And almost that there is going to be a promise for him. So Abraham sends them away, not with much, with a bit of bread, a bit of water. And again, we find Hagar, it's very similar, in the wilderness. This time with her son. And they run out of water. And the child, honestly, is about to die. And Hagar is crying. And the baby is crying, it seems. And it says, God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to you, what troubles you? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. So again, we see this God who is hearing these afflicted people. and God opens Hagar's eyes and she finds a well, and so they're able to continue living, they're able to eat, they're able to find food and drink, and the boy becomes an expert with the bow, so he's able to find food that way. And he grows up and kind of history tells us, scholars tell us, it's widely believed that Ishmael is the father of the Arabic nations that we know today. You know, really well-populated, like massive nations, like that multitude that was talked about happens. And there's a lot to learn from this, I think, for us. The main thing being that, yes, Isaac is the father of kind of Israel, you know, from Isaac comes Israel, comes the nation, the Jewish nation. But also, God, he doesn't just forget other nations. He longs to see all people know him and love him and be in relationship with him. And we could talk more about that, you know, many people could talk more about that. But this thing of there is a promise and there is a hope for Hagar and for Ishmael. There is a hope in the midst of seemingly rubbish, terrible circumstances. There is a hope for them. And we learn a lot about the God that gives that hope through this story. And we see it later. We see it with Jesus, you know, like I've been watching something, a series recently called The Chosen, which I highly recommend if you haven't seen it. It's been, I feel like it portrays Jesus in a beautiful way. It's about Jesus and the disciples. They've just done season one, going into season two. And in one of those episodes, Jesus is with the Samaritan woman at the well that we find in John chapter 4. And again, this woman, maybe through her own faults, but maybe through also the people around her, you know, it's probably an element of both, is seen by God, who knows everything about her. And her response is, this is the Messiah. Because when we're seen in our brokenness and in our affliction, just to know that someone is caring about us, that God cares about us, changes everything. The circumstances may not change, but we are changed. And we see that with Jesus the whole way through the Gospels. You know, when he sees the lepers and he touches them and he heals them. When he sees the tax collectors, you know, the people that, the many, many of the outcasts of society, he sees them, he knows them, he loves them, he hears their cries, and they're changed forever. And this is the same for us. I don't know what lockdown has been like, or even just this year, or before this year. For many of us, I think probably we've been through times of hopelessness and despair and uncertainty. What does the future hold for us? We don't know anymore, some of us. None of us know, actually. Even if we think we know, we don't actually know. And we can be caught in this place of wilderness, caught in this place of hopelessness, like Hagar. And this, I believe God wants to speak to us today and say that he sees us and he hears us in those places, and he hasn't abandoned us and he hasn't forgotten us. Hagar was not forgotten, and we are not forgotten. And the thing is, I feel as we receive this truth and we receive his love, from that place, we are then in a place to be able to let other people know about his love too. Since I've been in, had the opportunity to kind of be in missions, even before it as well, but especially since I've been with Youth with a Mission, I've had the opportunity to meet many, many people in the UK, but also overseas. And I've met so many people where their circumstances would tell them that there is absolutely no hope for them and no future for them. But then God enters, like with Hagar. And there's one person, one of my friends in Brazil, and he actually grew up on the streets. From the age, I think, of about 8 or something, he was living on the streets for various reasons. Trying to get food, trying to fend for himself with the kind of gangs around. And he was actually found by missionaries who had set up a home for kids like him. And he was taken in, and he received food, and he received education and shelter. And he also was taught about the God that loved him And not only did they tell him about the God that loved him, they'd just shown him with everything that they'd provided, and that being the hands and feet of Jesus, basically. And this guy, he becomes a Christian, his life is turned around, and now he's actually leading that very same ministry, like 25 years later. And I look at his life and the life of so many others that I've met, and I'm like, okay, God, when we receive that hope for ourselves, we have it to give away. And my friend in Brazil is now giving away that hope to other people that he received for himself. And I guess I have a challenge for us today. Like, yes, Lord, let us receive the truth that we have a hope and a future in the midst of our circumstances. But also, who are the Hagars in our lives today? I want us to just think about that. Who are the Hagars? And it might be, you know, that you see people on the news or at the moment with the stuff that just happened in Beirut. And it might be that we want to pray for them or even give towards those efforts or whatever. It may be in that way, but it may be in more simpler, less obvious ways where circumstances are maybe not quite so obviously hopeless. But people around us are losing their jobs. People around us are losing what they thought was going to be their future. People around us, and maybe us, maybe we've lost family and friends in this time, either from COVID or from other reasons, you know, and it can create hopelessness. It can bring, the enemy tries to say, there, look what happened to you. There's no hope for you. But God doesn't say that. and he doesn't want people to be stuck in that hopelessness. And who are the people around that we can communicate hope to? Through our words and through our actions. Maybe we can be the hands and feet of Jesus to some people in our lives. Whatever that looks like, you know, there's so many opportunities for that. But I want to challenge us that this week we would have our eyes open to the Hagars that God has placed in our lives. You know, we carry Christ, you know, like the Holy Spirit lives within us, has made his home in our hearts. Like, God lives in us. How can we be the hands and feet of Jesus this week? In really simple ways. It could be in your job, you know, where you're just communicating hope to people that have no hope. We all need hope. And God is the hope bringer. And he uses us sometimes to bring hope to other people. So I want to kind of leave us with that today. Leave us with that challenge that we would pray, God, would you open up our eyes so that we can be carriers of hope to the Hagars in our lives. So I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray for us and leave us with that challenge. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for this story of Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden who found herself in the midst of awful circumstances. But you entered. And you entered into her wilderness, you entered into her hopelessness, and you communicated, A, that you know her and you love her, that you see her and you hear her, and you communicated that there is a hope and a future for her. And God, firstly, we want to receive that truth for us. God, I want to pray for those of us that are feeling a bit hopeless, for whatever reason, for whatever circumstance. God, would you come and fill us with your hope today? The same God that met Hagar in that place, would you meet us today? Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh with your hope? And from that place, Lord, from that place of receiving your hope, would you show us the Hagars in our lives, Lord? Would you show us the people that need to know your hope, that you have a hope and a future for them, God? Lord, would you open up our eyes? Maybe you even bring names to our minds right now, or this week we'll meet people or we'll hear about people. God, would you soften up our hearts to be open, to open up our eyes, you know, open up our hearts to the people around us, God, that we would not just be receiving this hope, but that we would be giving it away. that we would be carriers of your hope. Open up our eyes this week, God. Will we be vessels of your hope this week, Lord? Yeah. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your encouragement to us. We love you so much, God. Amen.